Legal troubles continue to mount for a prominent opera singer and tenured U of M professor accused of sexual misconduct and rape. David Daniels faces extradition to Texas to be tried in the 2010 sexual assault of a young graduate student in Houston. His husband, Scott Walters, is also charged. And Daniels has been subject to many complaints of soliciting students for sex over social media. And the firestorm of complaints is extending to the University of Michigan. Gus Burns of M Live is here to sort through this very complex story for us. Gus, let's start by briefly telling us what happened in that 2010 incident in Texas with this young man named Samuel Schultz.
What we understand from police reports that came to us from the University of Michigan, from interviews with Daniels and Walters, they claim that they had an encounter with Samuel Schultz, who at the time was a graduate student at Rice University, and he was kind of, they say, a fan. And at the time, Daniels was performing in a play. And then on the final night of the cast party, they invited Samuel Schultz over. And then that's where the stories sort of diverge. Schultz, and what he's reported through media and to police, says that it led to him being drugged and sexually assaulted or essentially raped by the couple, and he woke up the next day not knowing what had happened. And if you take their story, they present it as a casual encounter and say that Schultz had no problem the following day when he woke up, and then they didn't hear anything about it for days, and then Schultz just cut off contact with them, and then they didn't hear anything much more about it other than rumors that he was telling people that he had been sexually assaulted for the next 8 years. And then this came up in the summer when he went public, inspired apparently somewhat by the Me Too movement.
So it took some time for him to step forward and for complaints to be leveled. Meantime, in 2015, University of Michigan hires David Daniels. Tell us the sense of complaints students have been lodging against him.
There really were no complaints that came out until the first thing said about them and possible sexual misconduct by Daniels was in March of 2018. When someone was forced to report that they had heard rumors of two anonymous students who claimed that they had been approached by Daniels using the phone application Grindr, which is kind of a hookup app, and as they started having conversations with them, at least the student from, this actually happened in February of 2017, he said that he was having conversation. As the conversation proceeded, he found out that this was a professor in the same school that he was studying in, and there was an acknowledgement on both sides that they knew who each other were, and Daniels requested that they have some sort of a sexual encounter for $300, and that's according to screenshots of text messages that made their way to police, originally with the U of M police, but then got forwarded on to other departments.
Is this Andrew Lippian we're talking about? Because that lawsuit, there's a sexual harassment and discrimination lawsuit filed against Daniels by a former student named Andrew Lippian. What does he say happened?
Well, that also happened in the same time, but this is separate from the Grindr complaint, as far as I'm aware. There are two people reporting. Andrew Lippian says something sort of similar to what is alleged in the 2010 case. He says that he was invited over to Daniels' house, and this was in a lawsuit that's since been dismissed against Daniels. But he said he was invited over to Daniels' house. While he was there, he was presented as being tricked into having an Ambien sleeping pill that he was told was Tylenol PM, and then there proceeded to be some sexual assault after that.
And I know, as you write, that David Daniels filed a countersuit against Lippian, right, for invasion of privacy and emotional distress. So there's all kinds of ricocheting legal actions, a lot building up, and this criminal rape trial pending in Texas because he was arrested, as was his husband, in Michigan on the Texas charges?
Correct. I think that they were arrested at the very end of January. Since then, they've been down there to court, and I think the next court date for them is April 15th. In Harris County, where Houston, Texas is, where he's accused of the crime, they have released them on a bond. They're allowed to travel within Washtenaw County and contiguous counties. According to the campus, they're not allowed to deal with anyone at this time on the Michigan campus, or not allowed to visit the campus, too.
Well, as this is all built up then, how has the University of Michigan responded, particularly in ways that are now drawing criticism?
As far as their dealings with M Live, they have not necessarily been that open about details, and they base that on their own policies of privacy protection for students, as well as their policy not to release detailed personnel decisions or details related to discipline against professors. So the most information we got from the University of Michigan actually did not come from them. The Grindr case from February of 2017 was forwarded to Pittsfield Police, which is a township next to Ann Arbor, because the complainant was from Pittsfield. So then Pittsfield did a solicitation investigation to see if there was anything illegal with Daniels offering $300 to him for sex. And they determined there was nothing that they could pursue criminally. But we proceeded to follow up with a records request to Pittsfield, and then that unveiled the original U of M investigation.
So what happened out of that investigation? So you say that they've been told to stay away from campus?
Oh, this is separately. This is from the Public Relations Department at the University of Michigan. At first, it wasn't clear whether it was kind of a voluntary leave due to all the firestorm that was going on, or he was asked to take a paid leave, because Daniels is on paid leave right now. And the university now says that they placed him on leave, indicating that it was kind of a forced leave, and that they said that he's also been instructed not to talk to students or visit the campus.
But it's worth noting that he is still being paid. He is still on the payroll.
Yeah, I believe the figure that we saw when he was hired, it was about $191,000. I don't know if that's changed in the last couple of years, but that's what it was originally.
As the headline in your most recent story, University of Michigan denies mishandling sexual misconduct claim. So who's denying the mishandling?
The attorney hired by the University of Michigan has filed a response to the complaint that was originally filed by Andrew Lippian, who's claiming the sexual assault in 2017. They're basically doing what you would expect in response to a federal lawsuit. They're not admitting to anything, but they are saying in certain cases that they did follow through with the proper investigative process. And as far as being presented with things such as the text messages that the police came up with and that were forwarded to Pittsfield, that seemed to be evidence that he did commit some sort of misconduct in relation to at least one student. In their formal response to the lawsuit, they're claiming that they have followed through with their normal investigative procedures related to their Office of Institutional Equity, which investigates any on-campus misconduct claims, and essentially just have denied any claims made by Lippian that they did not follow through with proper procedures. There's a couple different ways they've done that, and one is they're sort of seems to be blaming Lippian because he did not cooperate after he filed the lawsuit and after the university became aware of his claims. He and his attorney, they say in the lawsuit, have refused to cooperate, so they haven't been able to fully investigate some of the claims he made.
Have you heard from students? Have you heard from parents of students at the School of Music, Theater, and Dance?
Not really. I mean, I've spoken with one of the complainants in the Grindr case, and Daniels was very popular and well-liked, and I had wondered if any of this that has come out has changed that. I assumed that maybe he would still have a good number of supporters, and that student said that's not the case, that there has been kind of a big shift, and he's not receiving nearly the support as he did when this first started to come out.
So what comes next? What are you watching for, Gus?
Obviously, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with the criminal case, and nothing's going to happen with that for a couple months. The federal lawsuit can drag out for a long time, but it's just a matter of seeing when the next paperwork comes through, the next filing comes through to see if there's any new information. We've got several FOIAs in with the University of Michigan for different communications related to the internal OIE, Office of Institutional Equity investigations. We've been keeping tabs with one of the complainants in the Grindr claim, trying to see if their sexual misconduct claim has been completed, which as of a week ago, it had not been. And then I guess the last thing is to see if Lippian actually follows through with what his attorney indicated they were, and that would be that they're going to file the same portion of that federal lawsuit is going to be shifted over to the state courts in the civil realm. So they were going to file a new lawsuit against Daniels in state court.
A lot to try to parse through, particularly a lot of legal actions in this case of University of Michigan opera professor David Daniels. And we've been talking with M Live reporter Gus Burns. Thank you so much, Gus.
Thank you.